ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय प्राण बुद्धि मनः स्व आत्मा दार अपत्य धन आदयः यत् संपर्कात् प्रिया आसन् ततः क न अपरः प्रियः प्राणबुद्धि मनः स्वात्मा दारापत्या धनादयः यत्सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसाम् ततः कोनो अपरः प्रिया प्राणबुद्धि मनः स्वात्मा दारापत्या धनादयः यत्सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसम् तथा को नो परः प्रियः प्राणबुद्धि मनः स्वात्मा दरापत्य धनादयः यत्सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसम् तथा कोनो परा प्रिया प्राणबुद्धि स्वात्मा दारापत्य परा प्रिया प्राणबुद्धि मनः स्वात्मा दारापत्य धनादयः सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसम् तथा कोनो परा प्रिया प्राणबुद्धि प्रण स्वात्मा दारपत्या धनादया यत्सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसम् तथा कोनो परा प्रिया
लेडीज
प्राणबुद्धि मनः स्वात्मा दारपत्या धनादया यत्सम्पर्कात् प्रिया आसम् तथा कोनो परा प्रिया
प्राण वन्स वाइटल फोर्स बुद्धि इंटेलिजेंस मनः माइंड स्व रिलेटिव्स आत्मा बॉडी दार वाइफ अपत्य चिल्ड्रन धन वेल्थ आदयः एंड सो फोर्थ यत विथ विच सेल्फ संपर्कात बिकॉज ऑफ कॉन्टैक्ट प्रियः डियर आसन हैव बिकम ततः ध्यान दैट कह व्हाट नो इंडीड अपरः अदर प्रियः डियर ऑब्जेक्ट ट्रांसलेशन प्रपोज्ड बाय डिसाइपल ऑफ श्री प्रभुपाद इट इज ओनली बाय कॉन्टैक्ट विद द सेल्फ दैट वन्स वाइटल ब्रेथ इंटेलिजेंस माइंड फ्रेंड्स बॉडी wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self? Purport. The word yat samparkat in this verse refers to contact with the individual self and ultimately with the Supreme Self, the Lord, who is the origin of the individual living being. But developing Krishna consciousness, one automatically becomes self-realized. And thus, one's vital strength, intelligence, mind, relatives, body, family and wealth all become enhanced and brilliant by the central influence of Krishna consciousness. This happens because Krishna consciousness is the optimum efficient conjunction of the individual self, who is pure consciousness, with the Supreme Self and Supreme Consciousness, Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama.
It is only by contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self? We've been reading last few days about this very wonderful pastime of the exalted love of the Brahman Patnis for Krishna. As we know, the story goes that on the gentle intimation that Krishna and Balram were nearby in the forest near the Yamuna, how all these Yajna Patnis, they almost uncontrollably got attracted to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. It could be a good time for reflection as to this is the state of those exalted souls who have developed their innate, intrinsic, constitutional love for the all-attractive Sri Krishna. However, while we are reading this beautiful story, which are of talking about the exalted love, the highest platform of evolution of the consciousness, we can simultaneously also try and delve into our own hearts and see what are we attracted towards uncontrollably. And then we find there's a gulf is very large. Yes, we also get attracted, because that is the nature of the soul, to get attracted to something or someone. But what do we get attracted to? As long as we are in this concept, this illusory concept that I am this lump of matter, this is the body which I, this is what I am this body. When we say it, it sounds very foolish. How can I say I'm this lump of matter? But the way we act, the way we think, the way we behave, we just do everything as if it is, this is the way, this is I am, this is what I am, this is my body. Everything is centralized activity and relationship to this body. And we get attracted to everything but Krishna. We get attracted to anything and everything but the object which is really worthy of attraction. That is the state of our, you know, covered up consciousness. And it's very sad. Sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I've been chanting, I've been a sadhaka for these many years and I'm not attracted to Krishna still. The moment you step out of the temple, the mind starts pulling, you know, in various directions. Everything illusory out there appears very attractive. And the mind is forcibly dragged, the indriyas are dragged in various directions, pulled to all these attractive things. So it makes us very sober. Even though we may read these things and get inspired, but we should know that we are a million light years away from this. It is not that by, you know, sometimes I feel, I may be wrong, but I tend to feel like this recently, that when we stress the fact that Prabhupada said that we can go back to Godhead in one lifetime, when we say that, and we are not denying that Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada of course said that, that we can go back to Godhead in one lifetime, but I feel that by overstressing that fact, we tend to feel that this is an imminent reality now. That I am chanting Hare Krishna, I have taken Diksha of course, and I am already Brahman initiated, and I am serving, you can see I am serving as Dasanudas, whatever is required out of me, and either in the farm or in here or in this project or that project, and I am trying to be as good as I can, and I am doing my sadhana reasonably well, not so good, but quite okay, I mean I am not so bad. What others would think is quite okay for me. So if I just continue like this for a few more years, I mean Krishna has to just give it to me, of course, you see. And when I die, of course, with whatever disease, there will be a lot of devotees who will come around me, because I've been fairly good in my sadhana, so they will all feel this is a good guy who's dying now, and they will chant for me, and they will put a lot of dust from Radha Kund, I'm sure, all over my body. Gangajal will be there, somebody will come on and do that. And I think with all those good things happening around me, I have a fairly good chance to go back to Godhead. Is it not? That may put us on a very artificial platform of being in a place where you are not. And putting yourself artificially in a platform which you are not, don't have the adhikar for. It is not your status, it is not your evolved, it is not matching with the actual state of your consciousness. It is just the same mind which has cheated us for such a long time and doing the wrong things, making us feel, oh, you are already there. It is the same illusory potency of the Lord acting to still keep us still more away from Krishna. So even though what Prabhupada has given us is beautiful and Mahaprabhu's mercy is tremendous, something which anarpita charim charat karuna avtirana kalau, it has never been given before. But that mercy factor being even so powerful, it does not absolve us of our own responsibility to live a pure life. Right? However great the mercy is, I can only act on my heart when I live a life so that I can access that mercy. But don't live a life of that quality of being a genuine, insignificant, selfless servant. I cannot access even the unlimited mercy of the unlimitedly beautiful Lord Sri Krishna. And that's a fact. The onus is always on us. It's never on Krishna. Only when he comes personally, he takes the onus on himself to deliver. By his, what you call as kripa siddhi, potency. But when he goes away from this world and leaves behind his mercy in the form of scriptures, the holy devotees, the holy dham, his holy form as Sri Vigraha, and so many other ways he manifests himself, then it is only up to the sadhaka to access this potency of love and mercy. And that only comes by leading a pure life, pure thought, pure desires, pure vani, pure vacha, pure behavior. When we live a pure life, or at least very deeply and extremely sincerely try to endeavor to live at least that pure life, then Krishna is somewhat pleased. Somewhat pleased. And he may bring us closer to his lotus feet and bring us to where we belong, where we need to go. So let us never ever feel that going back to Godhead is our birthright. It's not our birthright, because we have been living a sinful life for millions of lifetimes, and a birthright is to stay in this world for another million lifetimes. Therefore, the pure devotees in their songs, they never seem to think that they are going to back to Godhead very soon. You don't find any Acharya songs talking about this concept that, okay, when I do this, I will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. We don't find that. They in fact always say that I'm so far from Krishna. They always seem to talk about, you know, distancing themselves, or they'll be very, very far. They don't talk about, you know, imminency. Then how come we, stupid that we are, myself certainly, that we think that we are very close to this goal of what is being spoken in these exalted pages of Bhagavatam? We're still attracted to the feminine form. We're still attracted to a lot of money. We're still attracted to so many other, you know, useless things of this world. And not to talk of the name and fame we get attracted to. And how conscious are we that we are not defamed? A small thing spoken against us by any fellow devotee, and we are so conscious to immediately rectify, clarify, and straighten up things, and we don't say, oh yeah, yeah, even if he defames me, so what? As it is, I am quite stupid. We are immediately there to just set the things right. So how much we are attached to our false ego still. Right? So we should certainly praise the glory of these great souls and feel that our complete helpless situation to be able to really understand this love. We cannot understand the love of Prahlad, who is in Shantaras. We cannot understand the love of Hanuman, who is in Dasyaras. We cannot understand the love of Arjuna, who is in Sakhyaras. We cannot understand the love of Nanda Maharaj, who is in Vatsalyaras. And do we think that by just studying the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam or reading Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries that we can understand the love of the Brajapatnis, Brahman Patnis? Do you think that we are so great now that we can understand that love? Just because it is in English language which I understand, and purports which I can really relate to in terms of the intellectual power I have. Do you think that this is all? Can we even understand how far is Prahlad's sphere of consciousness from us? What would happen to me if I'm on a side of a cliff, just being about to pushed by some terrorist or some gundas who are trying to kill me, and just said, because you're going to kill you, unless you surrender your watch and your wallet and in your everything else you have, everything, you just give it to me and I'll just throw you. And he's standing there, and Can I feel this ocean is born from Krishna and it is, you know, whatever the Prahlad's story, you know, that something is there, right? That this is the some intrinsic internal meaning is there. Oh, this is also and whatever. I forgot that now. Are we going to think like that? Or if I see a cobra and it's, oh yeah, I don't know. We will run. If we see a cobra, we will run. One small cobra is enough to, you know, make us run for, you know, till we fall flat, dead practically in exhaustion. We cannot understand the love of Prahlad. We cannot. So selfless, so pure. Will I preach in an enemy camp? Will I go to Pakistan and preach? If my guru tells me, you know, right in the, you know, hideout of Dawood or somebody, like whatever is that. You know, if I put him in the camp of Dawood, he said, go and preach there. Prahlad was preaching in the camp of the enemy. He was preaching there. Right? So Prahlad is so pure and so exalted. And what am I? I can barely not even be awake during my japa. I have not barely even chant one round properly. I don't think I have chanted one round in my life still. But I have not thought of, you know, I have not thought of Krishna throughout the entire one round. I don't think so, I have done that. My mind must have gone 108 times in different directions. I hope I can chant at least one round before I die, thinking only of Krishna, or at least hearing the holy name. Maybe, you know, in front of Rupa Goswami Samadhi, maybe Prabhu Samadhi in Vrindavan, I must have tried something because of the power of the association and the power of the place that I must have tried to focus. But by and large, what is my level of my chanting? It's hopeless. Can this impure, inattentive chanting bring me the love of the Brahman Patnis? In this lifetime, one lifetime, as Prabhupada says, the answer is obviously no. So, as far as I'm concerned, I have a long way to go. But our hope is that Krishna is all attractive. That's our hope. That Krishna actually is all attractive. That if I simply keep hearing about Him, if I simply keep seeing Him, if I simply keep remembering Him, this is 33 verse. Excuse me for reading that, but it's relevant. It is by hearing about me. This is Krishna's words. This is Krishna's prescription. This is His prescription for all of us sadhakas to get His love. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops. It's a very clear prescription for love. No ambiguity, there's no mixing. It is Krishna's absolutely crystal clear as broad daylight. And not by physical proximity. He says, therefore please go back to your homes. Right? So our hope is that by doing these things regularly, by seeing a deity form, the brahmacharis are very fortunate, of course. And so are the grihasthas, many of them, who come to see the Lord every day. And the brahmacharis may see the Lord many times in a day. His deity form. It's like the Brahman Patni saw Krishna, right? But then Krishna is not here today in His self-same form. But He is left behind His deity form. So that by seeing Him, that means basically we talk about the same old thing we heard in New York, you know, in neophytes and Krishna consciousness, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. By engaging our eyes and seeing Him, by engaging our ears and hearing about Him, by engaging our touch sensation in serving Him, folding His clothes and cooking for Him, making garlands for Him, by engaging our tongues in glorifying Him and taking the remnants of His food, by engaging all our senses with the deep appreciation of His mercy which is coming through that, we need to get in this consciousness of appreciating. As we know, very things become mechanical. But the mercy which is available in these activities, when I get a chance to come and cut, like Maharaj was saying, you know, in a very graphic way, he sometimes put things, when you cut a potato in the deity kitchen, it's the same knife made of iron or steel, and it is the same potato which grows everywhere. And potato is not a very great vegetable in any case. But when you're cutting it, said you have been waiting for millions of lifetimes to get a chance to cut a potato for Krishna. Right? So that is a type of awareness. Appreciation goes with, before appreciation comes awareness. The awareness of every act we do, the ability to come and offer dandavats to Srila Prabhupada, the appreciation for getting a plate of prasad, which we think is our birthright. Prasad to milna hi chahiye na bhi. I'm ashram resident, I should get prasad. Prasad is a basic thing. I've given my life, of course, is it not? So prasad should be there. And then we say, okay, I'm married, you know, the wife has to at least give me food of plate. So this is my birthright as a grihastha, so to get a food of prasad. But it's not our birthright. It is only the factor of Krishna's mercy coming through that food. So every plate of prasad is an awareness of Krishna's mercy incorporated within that particular dal and chawal. When that awareness is there, when Krishna sees that we are so conscious of Him and doing activity, Krishna is pleased. It's all about consciousness. It's all about being aware. The ability to chant Krishna's name. Of course, in the purport, we have been made to understand that when this consciousness is there of awareness, it's very nice what is told here, that the spirit soul is a conjunction. The words are very beautiful. I think Gopi Pranathan Prabhu is exalted English. This happens because Krishna consciousness is the optimum efficient conjunction. Now, this is a phrase I never heard before. It's the optimum efficient conjunction. Conjunction means in between. Conjunction of, it's an eclipse, you know, the conjunction of, you know, the moon and the sun, like that. So the conjunction of the individual self, whose pure consciousness, with the supreme self. So he's like the in-between person. On one side is the material energy, with which the individual self is connected. Other side is his connection, the supreme self, that is Krishna. So he's actually in between the two. And that is why he's called as the Tastha Shakti. Right? When we all go on the beach, Jagannath Puri, whatever, we cannot miss this beautiful analogy that when we just sit there or walk on that this is Tatastha Shakti, this is Tata. This is the Tata. Tata means the shore. And actually the Tata becomes, like in Puri we saw, right? It becomes wet again, the water comes, and then immediately the water recedes, it starts becoming dry, becomes dry. Right? And the part with the high tide, you know, at a particular time in the evening when you come there, is low tide, that becomes totally dry. So we have this, and he says that when we identify ourselves more as being connected with the material nature, then we attracted to that. The money part and whatever else, the relatives and this and that, we connect, because we identify ourselves so much with this, we get attracted to that. Oh, my sister, oh, my brother, oh, my wealth, oh, my insurance policies, oh, my cupboard, oh, my mobile, oh, my whatever. Right? The moment we connected with Krishna, we identify ourselves in conjunction, we say, okay, maybe I'm connected here, but actually my primary connection is here. Then so many things make it, my service, oh, my chanting, oh, my reading, oh, my association, oh, my this, oh, my behavior, oh, my, you know, forefinding nature. Then we immediately, you know, judge ourselves in relation to this. Right? So it depends on how we are feeling ourselves connected to. And then when we feel ourselves more connected to Krishna, then he says that we become self-realized and our wider strength increases. Our intelligence increases. Our mind becomes more strong. The relatives, the body, the family and the wealth all become enhanced. And this is something very beautiful. How does vital strength increase? You're eating the same calories, the same protein. You know, after becoming a devotee, you start eating more calories. Of course, yeah, actually it's true. We start eating more calories. all the Mahaprasad and all the sweets. But vital strength has nothing to do with calories, nothing to do with protein. What was the strength of Prabhupada at 81 or 80 to go all around the world? Was it calories and proteins? No. It's all stupid. And pure devotees' lives are not governed by calories. Right? What is the strength of Raghunath Das Goswami? And if you imagine somebody eating, drinking for years together, just 2 teaspoons of buttermilk every day, now the whole medical science goes completely flat. This man has to die, you know, a few weeks or months. What is the calorie content of 2 teaspoons of this thing? Maybe 5 calories. And the body requires about 800 calories per day just for surviving. If you just lie in bed for whole day, you need to get 800 calories. That's a BMR. Basic metabolic rate. And then if you run around and walk and all, you require 1800 calories for average man, hardworking person, 2400 calories per day. Now, where is Raghunath Das Goswami? He was offering obeisances 1000 times for a devotee. That requires a lot of calories. He said, get down and get up on your knees and get up. You require a lot of protein in your hamstrings and in your quadriceps. Where is the calorie? Where is he? How is he functioning? He's all functioning on vital strength. Thakur Haridas was not eating a lot of food. Do you all find his pictures? He's a very well-built person. Maharaj said his body was being energized by the holy name. Vital strength from the holy name directly. Prabhupada also clear his intelligence. Right? Now, averagely in this world, and Prabhupada was a diabetic person, everyone who's a diabetic. Now, the diabetic people have very enhanced atherosclerosis. The vessels become blocked and your brain becomes blocked. You take an average CT scan of any person above the age of 60, 65, then you find a lot of infarcts, a lot of small clots. Any average man, even if you're not a smoker or a drinker, by the time you are 60 years old, you find a lot of clots in the brain for everybody. And when you get all these clots, your intelligence becomes dull. So people start, Dr. Sahib, what do you do? You start forgetting things. Because your memory center becomes weak. There's no blood supply. Your reflexes become weak. You don't find people playing tennis at the age of 40 years. They can't see the ball properly. Before they hit the ball has already hit them. Nobody plays cricket after 40. Right? Because reflexes become dull. When you're young, you can see the ball fast and you can react fast and align your bat accordingly and put left, right, whatever. You can turn around the bat and swirl it around or give a cut, whatever. Right? But at 80, 81, you are a diabetic, you are a hypertensive person. Prabhupada had a kidney failure also. Medically, you don't expect the person to be very active and alert at that age of when you're about to die. Prabhupada's clear consciousness. Crystal clear consciousness. Which could not be clouded by the material body. That means the consciousness and intelligence was not based on the body. It was completely sanctified by Krishna. The intelligence was not dependent on the state of the brain, which an average man is. Intelligence becomes dull. 70-year-old man, what dull? 85-year-old, dementia. Gone. Forgets who's he and forget so many things. He forget the names of people, so many things. Dementia. But Prabhupada did not get demented because his intelligence was vitalized not by his brain, but was vitalized by Krishna. Imagine somebody writing a kavya as beautiful as Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the age of 90 years plus. With a hand which is, you can't hold the pen, his hand is like this because of rheumatoid arthritis. How can you hold a pen also like that? You can't hold a pen. And you're supposed to scribble. It's not in a pen. It wasn't a keyboard. It wasn't a pen. You just to scratch it on your, on this, palm leaves. And the hand is like this. This is the actual state of what must be the hand of Raghunath Das Goswami. Kaviraj Goswami. This is what his hand must be. Both hands like this. And he's able to compose such beautiful prayers and such absolutely beautiful rhythmical rhyming verses And not one or two of them, but a whole 18, 17 volumes, so I don't know how many verses are there, but you know, hundreds of thousands of verses. Faultless grammar, faultless rhyme and meter. People, you know, devotees of all our devotees sing. There's one CD of Prabhupada, which we hear sometimes, and Prabhupada is just chanting this the verse of Charitamrita. Where is intelligence coming from? Even he is very surprised. Kaviraj Goswami, I don't know how I'm doing this. My body is so decrepit, I can't see because I have, you know, cataract lens. You know, they didn't have cataract surgery in that time. Now, obviously he has to have cataract when he's 90 years old. He cannot not be having cataract. This is not medically possible. With the cataract in his eyes, with the arthritic limbs, and, you know, the whole body which is, you know, at 90 plus, how is he able to write this? This is vital energy. Enhanced strong mind and enhanced intelligence, which is completely beyond the body. Being permeated. When the soul is connected with Krishna, Krishna's energy enters the soul in its pure divinity and permeates your mind, permeates your intelligence, permeates all your words, permeates your eyes and your glances. It permeates every aspect of your existence. So when in the pure devotee just glances on somebody, he can give pure love. When he just smiles at somebody, he can attract that person to Krishna. Because that smile is a transparent communication of Krishna's love. There is the same concept of a bad conductor and a good conductor. If you have a good conductor, then every voltage which has been conducted to the wire comes as it is to the end point. Unless you have adapter or something like that, you know, it blocks the current. But Prabhupada is a pure conductor. Pure devotee is a pure, when he's a pure devotee, means he's a pure conductor. There's no impurity. So the pure love of Krishna just enters into his heart and enters into his mind, enters into his intelligence, his eyes and his words. Everything becomes pure. And that is why the devotee is faultless. Whatever he says is absolutely true. It is considered as, in practice, it is considered as Shabda Praman, is Shabda Brahma. It is not just scriptural. Even the words of a pure devotee are pure Shabda Praman, pure Shabda Brahma. It's pure. Therefore, every sentence sometimes a pure devotee speaks is like, wow. It's so powerful. It's like sutra. You can just take one sentence and you can base your entire life on that sentence and go back to God. Not in this life, some lifetime. Maybe in this lifetime. If Krishna wants to, who can do this? His will. You know, whatever I say, if Krishna wants to take somebody. You know. But you can base your whole life on that. The Prabhupada said, even if there is apparently some fault, it is still pure and sadhus accept it. Apparently there is some fault, you know, some grammatical error or something. It is still pure. Everything a pure devotee does is pure. Everything is just pure. His remnants are pure. Even his stool is pure. Raghunath Goswami, you know how happy he was to clean that part. Natandas Thakur was cleaning up. Ishwarapuri was cleaning up his Guru Maharaj. Everything is pure in that sense. It's all tadiya. His cane, the coins he used, lota he used, everything is tadiya. It's pure, worshipable. Right? So that's what it is. So if that is pure, then how much pure is Krishna? The source of all that purity. He is himself the source of all the purity. Ganga is so pure, but if Ganga is so pure, then who is the source of Ganga must be so much more pure. And therefore his holy name is so pure. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So by cultivating this consciousness, one of the greatest gifts of Lord Chaitanya, from all the scriptures that he gave through Rupa Goswami and Sridharan Goswami and others, is his understanding, Jivira Swarup Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. By giving us this beautiful, one-lined, yet extremely deep understanding of our actual nature, he has saved our life. What couldn't be probably understood by reading so many scriptures, you know, you read Katha Upanishad or whatever Upanishad you want, but this is so simple and yet so sublime and of course yet very profound, that this is our nature. So to live according to that nature, to think according to that nature, to speak according to that nature, that I am a das, I am a servant of the Lord. That is pure consciousness. That is pure living. And when we endeavor to live like that, then Krishna's mercy comes in abundance in our life. Because das is negative and master is positive. This is Siddhartha Goswami's analogy, isn't it? Das means negative and master means positive. To the extent we think we are master of our lives, master of our wealth, master of my name and fame, all my possessions, to that extent Krishna, the supreme master, is repelled from you. Like poles, they repel. So however you chant, however you sadhana perform, but if the first, this Isha Bhava is there, which is very strong in Indra, for example, Isha Manina, the shloka says, is the Ishwar, Isha Manina, then repelled from Krishna. You can't see Krishna still. The moment you see yourself as Das, you get attracted. You get attracted. Because Das makes you negative, and Master makes is supreme positive. Right? So unless we really live a life of Dasatva, which is exemplified by Prahlad and Hanuman, others, all wanted to serve the Lord. And that's why the best question, of course we ask so many questions to our spiritual masters and devotees, but actually there's only one question, which is the best question of all questions, the supreme question of all questions: how can I serve you? Right? And the materialists do that. You phone a corporate office and said, yes, Mr. Dalal, what can I do for you? Right? Because it's our nature. They say it for money, we say it for service. Right? How can I serve you? When we say like that, when you feel like that, and you behave like that, that is pure consciousness. And that's what we are aspiring for. That's why we are hoping that we can live through all our chanting, through all our reading, through all our hearing of all these beautiful stories, that we can really actually enhance that intrinsic aspect of our life. I am a das. Through all our holy pilgrimages, every year, Kartik Yatra, this time where, Vrindavan, next time where, Mayapur, next time where. Through all our pilgrimages of so many lifetimes and so many years we are going, and bathing in so many kunds. How many kunds we have bathed by our Guru Maharaj's mercy? Padmavati kund and this kund and that kund and so many kunds. Rohini kund. So many kunds we have taken bath. Gangotri, Jamunotri, everywhere we have gone. All those baths are there. But through all of that, what? What are we really trying to achieve? We want to enhance this aspect of our life, that we can understand that we are servants, sevaks, sevak, Ram sevak, Krishna sevak, Bhakta sevak. We are sevak. When we can feel like that, and then feel happy about it. I am a servant. Wow! When you feel very happy about it, that's another thing. Oh, I am sevak. I'm not like, what to do? I am a sevak. No. It is a point of merriment. It's a point of joy. I am a servant. Not of this material world, not of matter, not of my mind. I am a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am His servant. Wow! That makes us joyful. I'm serving such a great master. My master is so great. Look, he lifted the Govardhan Hill. Look, he can do so many things. Look, he did this. Look, he did that. Look, he can, you know, oh, he did so many things and all the scriptures are all about that. Look, this is the way he saved Prahlad. Look, this is the way he dances. Look, the way, if he has Vajantimala, my master wears a cost of money. Oh, and he has a Srivasta jewel. Oh, and he has a peacock feather. My master is so beautiful. So when we take pride in Krishna, then we'll be very happy serving such a master. That's why we want to hear his glories more and more and more. Because we need to enhance Krishna's glory in our mind and heart. Right now we are saturated with our own glory. Look how great I am. Look how I speak. Look how I do things. Look how I'm doing this. We are so saturated with our own self. As I said, he's full of it. Like Maharaj says, he's full of it. We are full of our own selves. We are not full of Krishna. We are just full of ourselves. Right? So you know, we hear so much about Krishna, we become so full of ourselves. Our glass is so full with our own self. We are trying to put Krishna. Krishna just drops out of the glass. If you put Krishna, it drops out of the... We are just full of our own self. But we become das. Everything just become emptied out. The glass, when we become das, we become emptied out of our own self. Huh? What are the servant has to have? The servant has nothing. The servant has nothing. The servant has only one possession, and that is his service. He has nothing. The only glory, the only wealth he has is his own service. So more we hear about Krishna, his beauty, his pastimes, his love, his reciprocation, you see his form, the more we fill ourselves, saturate ourselves with Krishna, right? Then you'll be just so pleased to serve him. Because there can be no better master than Krishna to serve. If we are sevaks, then might as well get the best master to serve. If we are supposed to serve, this is what my nature is, then let me serve the best master. And there cannot be any better master than Krishna. Is it not? If we give him a simple leaf, he is pleased. If you see a simple flower, he is pleased. He is so kind. So loving, so merciful. Where can we get a better master than that? Is it not? Of all the demigods and all the gods which are there in the Vedic storehouse of... is there a better master to serve than Krishna? Is anybody more beautiful than Krishna? Is anybody more loving than Krishna? No. He is... the epitome of all good qualities. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Is the embodiment of all rasas. So we want to serve him in whatever we can. And then maybe we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I have an announcement to make. I'm just taking... A devotee named Sukshma Jaiswal Mataji, a counselee of Ayodhyapati Prabhu, yesterday left her body